Hello and welcome to the Enjoy Church podcast. Thank you so much for tuning in. We hope this message empowers, equips, and helps you become everything God has called you to be. Enjoy the message.
Hey, Enjoyers, it is so good to be with you today. I hope you're well and prospering in every area of your lives, even as your soul prospers. A very special welcome to anyone who is tuning into an Enjoy service for the very first time. If you are on one of our Facebook streams or on the online platform, make sure you say g'day so we can make you feel extra special. Here at Enjoy Church, we love God and we love people and have a whole stack of fun on the journey together. It is great to have you with us. Before we jump in, I just wanted to thank Pastor Shane for the opportunity to share with our wonderful church. We are blessed to have such an amazing Spirit-led leadership that's fervently focused on fulfilling His great commission and not distracted to the left or to the right. It's both an honor and a challenge to follow on from Pastor Shane's incredible word on unity last week. There was a brilliant thought amongst many in the midst of that message that I wanted to pick up on and unpack a little bit today. But first, I need to start by making a confession. I have a major problem. Back in July 2019, we had a relationship seminar at West with Bob and Audrey Meisner. Yes, when we could have actual people in our buildings. I'd been in the location pastor role for 7 months and I was down with some crew from Ballarat. Yes, when we could actually travel from Ballarat to Melbourne. The nostalgia is killing me. But my problem is not living in nostalgia, nor is it not being able to pop into Code Black Coffee in North Melbourne with Pastor Christian, although that is definitely high on my to-do list once lockdowns end. My problem is much worse than that. As part of the seminar, Bob and Audrey shared what they called the four communication goals, where we had to answer the question of, how do I want people to experience me? And we had to put the four in order. Do I want to be liked, right, in control, or safe? I shifted uncomfortably in my seat when the reality and the implications of the answer to this simple exercise struck me. And my phone started going off with text messages from a number of people in the room. I'm like, is anybody concentrating on this? This is actually good stuff. But when I snuck a look at them, they were all saying the same thing. They were all answering the question for me on my behalf. The one that stood out for me the most was the one from my good mate at East, Julio Cano. It said, number one, right. Number two, right. Number three, right. Number four, right. Number five, right. Number six, to be confirmed. I mean, there was only meant to be four in the list. He and all the other trolls slash friends in that room at that moment were, ironically, right themselves. I want to be right. It's true. And I am most of the time. Okay, I'm waiting for my phone to start going off again. Go easy on me in the comments. But really, I'm just trolling you now. It's okay. But seriously, even when I'm wrong, I'll find a way to twist it around so that I'm right. It's not good. I got a problem. Pastor Shane said last week, what is it about me that makes me feel like I need to win? What is it about me that makes me feel that I need to be right? These are great questions. For me personally, it's something that I've always been aware of. I've never had an issue with self-confidence. I've never been shy to step into an argument and have the last word. But I've since come to realize the limitations of being right and the shortcomings that would restrict me stepping out my calling in God. It's been such a liberating journey since then to understand that being right is not the be-all and the end-all. Church, God wants you to live light. He wants you to live free. He wants you to live an uncomplicated yet profound life. He wants you to enjoy an exhilarating adventure of faith and trust in His name. More so than any restriction or limitation we face which has been imposed by man, the restrictions and limitations that we create for ourselves by our attitudes and issues of our own hearts, they're the things that are going to rob and starve us of opportunity to bring spiritual change to our lost and hurt and broken world. So to that end, I want to share with you today from the thought, higher ground. Romans chapter 12, verse 3. For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt each one a measure of faith. What Paul is saying here is, are you really on the high ground that you think you are? Romans 12, it's such an epic chapter of mic drop after mic drop, starting off with phrases like presenting ourselves as a living sacrifice, being transformed by the renewing of our minds. It's laying down a foundation for later verses which escalate and say things like, bless those who persecute you and live peaceably with all men. Hey, make sure you take some time to read that chapter later today. So as Paul commends us, let us not think of ourselves more highly than we ought. It's such a great starting point. Are we really on the high ground morally, ethically, intellectually, politically, that we may think we are? For centuries, we have been conditioned to think that having the high ground gives us a strategic advantage. From a military and tactical perspective, this is absolutely the case. The higher ground gives you a wider field of view. You get a greater range out of low-speed projectiles like spears or arrows or my personal favorite, hand grenades. More energy is required to go up to engage than to go down. Touring the beautiful province of Tuscany in Italy back in 2018, we could see that walled city after walled city were built on the hilltops and elevated areas as historical proof of these principles. But has this military tactic flowed into our approach to life? Has it flowed into our conversations? Has it flowed into our relationships? Has it flowed into our engagement with our communities? Has it flowed into our discourse? Has it flowed into our humanity? Has it flowed into our Christianity? In trying to navigate the brutal realities of this world, people will naturally tend to take whatever advantage they can. If getting and holding the high ground increases their chances of survival, then that's probably what they're going to do. But as spiritual people, we should value so many more things in life than simply holding the high ground and surviving. We're not called to survive. We are called to flourish. This season is not about scraping through. It's about continuing to sow and reap in faith and stepping into our most fruitful season ever. I see more opportunity than ever before. I see a harvest that is ripe and plentiful. Who wants to step into it? If that's you, declare it in the comments right now. If we want to live a life that surpasses surviving, we need to let go of that survival instinct to hold the high ground. We need to see that as we seed, in other words, give up the high ground, as we put aside what we think is right, what we think is the solution, as that seed falls down into the ground and dies, God's resurrection power is going to give us so much more. The curious challenge then for us as pastors, leaders, men and women of faith, sons and daughters of God, is that we want to communicate God's word. The word is truth, and the word is by definition right. So regardless of whether we have a predisposition that struggles with the need to be right, like myself, we still all need to know how to wield that which is right. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 18 says, "There is one who speaks like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise promotes health." Who knows that the word is a sharp, double-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit. Sometimes we wield the word with all of its beauty, life-giving grace and love in ways that are reckless and that can damage people. There's already enough hurt and brokenness in this world. It doesn't need any more. If it's judgmental, it causes damage. If it's legalistic, it causes damage. If it's straight out of context, it causes damage. I think all of these things are obvious. They're important, and we need to make sure that we're applying those filters all the time. The church for centuries has struggled with all of these things, but that's not actually what I want to focus and home in on today. Sometimes, even after we tick off all of those filters in speaking the right thing, we still do damage. Maybe it's because we're doing it in the wrong timing or not in the right place of the journey. Maybe we're trying to take the moral high ground, or maybe we're just trying to prove a point. I've been guilty of this too many times to count. But what I am learning to do better is to abandon the high ground. Why? Because there is higher ground. That's the ground that I want to walk on and possess. Not for the purpose of winning or surviving, but for the purpose of promoting health in the people that I do life with, promoting health in my family, church, city, and community. So God, give me wisdom. Lace my tongue with wisdom that I would know how to not only rightly divide the word of truth in context, but that it would be framed and underpinned with wisdom, delivered in a way that brings life and health. If this is helping anyone, say amen in the comments right now. The more we see ourselves as ministers of life and health and less as guardians of some abstract high ground, the more we will flourish and the more we will help others flourish. Here are three things to think about as a regular discipline to help us navigate this whole space. That we would lift our eyes off the high ground and tap into the higher ground. That we would be those ministers of life and health, both inwardly to ourselves, and who knows that that's a win right there, but then also outwardly to everyone around us. They all start with M, which is either coincidence, over-engineered, or divine revelation. I don't know, but at least it's easy to remember. The first one is this: motive. When we think we know better than someone else, when we think that we're on ground that is higher than someone else, we need to very quickly and urgently evaluate where our heart is at. Not necessarily because we are wrong about what we think or believe would help, but because this thing, it can get out of whack so easily. It's not just important for the sake of the engagement, whether it's a person or a group of people, but it's important for yourself. Proverbs 18:12, "Before destruction, the heart of man is haughty, and before honor is humility." So if we are haughty, then we are naughty. But with humility is dignity. Sorry, I'm just trying to catch the ear of any rap talent scout that's out there and might be listening today. There are two directions that we can walk in: haughtiness and pride, or humility and meekness. And the destinations could not be more polarized. They could not be more stark. Destruction on one hand, honor on the other. Is our motive about being perceived as right or smart or being the go-to person, the executor of justice, someone who makes a stand, the answer to the world's problems, to find favor with men? Sometimes I want to be those people so bad. Or is it about a genuine desire to help others, to put others before ourselves, no matter how it makes us feel that we are perceived. I'm not here to judge. I'm here to say the struggle is real. And I'd also like to say, don't take your motive for granted. Jeremiah 17:9 says, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" Many times we might think and assume that we have the right motive, but our hearts can actually be really tricky things to manage and know. I've actually been surprised at how I've been caught out with heart drift when it comes to my motive in ministering to people. But if I want the best outcome for myself and others, I need to allow God to continually search my heart, refine it by His grace, and walk in humility at all times. Lord, take away the pride that is in me. Kill in me that which is haughty. Do your supernatural surgery on my heart and help me to not be overcome with the fleshly desire to be right. The second thing that we need to consider in our engagement with people and our community is our method. The way in which we minister to people and the world around us is crucial for facilitating life and health. There are so many spaces and places where we desire to see change and where that change would actually be beneficial, but how we get there is pivotal. And the best change agent is not us, but God Himself. Isaiah 55 verse 9 says, "For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts." The best guidelines for personal and organizational success, traditional military tactics, conventional wisdom, none of these things are any match for the ways and the thoughts of God. It feels like Jesus' approach to so many things is counterintuitive and the opposite of what you would do if you were actually trying to establish a kingdom and bring change about in people's lives. His response to the woman caught in adultery in John chapter 8, His response in Gethsemane when Peter struck off the ear of the high priest's servant in John chapter 18, and His response to Pilate, it's a classic just a little bit later in John 18, verse 36. Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight so that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now, my kingdom is not from here." We need to remember that the kingdom that we are building on behalf of Jesus, it's not of this world. So we don't need to fight because the battle belongs to the Lord and the victory has actually already been won. We know that Jesus was the sinless Lamb of God. If anyone had a right to stand on high ground, it was Jesus. But I want to take a leaf out of His book and give up that high ground that I might gain the higher ground. If we're going to tap into the higher ways, we need to be Spirit-led. I don't want to be led by my flesh. I don't want to be led by my intellect. I want to be led by the Holy Spirit. In everything that we do to engage with people and society, to draw them closer to the kingdom of God, let it be with a method that gives glory to God. Conversations tempered with grace, filled with love, underwritten by patience. And as we do this, I actually believe that this is what is going to unlock the next season of signs and wonders and the miraculous in the church of the living God. This is the power and the potential of the higher ground of His methods if we lay aside the high ground and natural wisdom of our own. The third and final thing is the moment. This is about the perfect intersection of time and place, the sweet spot of fruitfulness. Luke chapter 14, verse 10, it says, "But when," everyone say, "when," But when you are invited, go and sit down in the lowest place so that when he who invited you comes, he may say to you, friend, go up higher. Then you will have glory in the presence of those who sit at the table with you. Here's a question for you. Whose table are you sitting at? Is it the table of a tech giant, or is it the table of a local church, or is it at another table altogether? Is it a table where there is personal relationship, where you can get the call, friend, go up higher? Or is it a table which is just a free-for-all? Is it a table that has that lowly place? Or is it a table where every seat comes with a not-so-healthy dose of self-entitlement? Is it a table that has a healthy culture with table manners? Or is it a zoo with people throwing food everywhere? Is it a table where trust can be cultivated and developed? Or is it a table of suspicion and fear? This is one of the things that I love about our church, and I love sitting at its table. It helps me to navigate this space so well. Such great people, such great leaders who strive to give opportunity at the right time and in the right place, who believe in raising and releasing and seeing people go above and beyond, that saw a location pastor in someone that struggled to see past what I thought was right. But by the grace of God, I held on through many of a tough season for that when moment. If we're going to effectively minister life and health to people and see people connected to Christ, we got to understand time and place. We don't need to fret about when the when comes. This is really where the rubber hits the road in faith and trust. Because if we're presumptuous about the time and place, whether it's because we're anxious about missing our moment or some watershed moment of humanity that we just can't let go by, we're going to miss the actual moments and opportunities that God is looking to bring into our lives. The ones which will actually make a difference, because his ways are higher than our ways. Even sharing with you on this online platform now, I feel the weight of responsibility to represent God, Pastor Shane, and all my brothers and sisters in Christ at Enjoy Church well. I hope that I have made the most of my friend, go up higher moment, and that this word today is helping to foster life and health. I don't take this opportunity lightly. My motive today was to not be clever or to be right, but to as openly and transparently as possible communicate what God is speaking to me and challenging me about in this season of my life. I'm not here to judge people's motives, methods, or moments. I don't have the emotional energy to be consumed in that. There is so much to be done in building his kingdom, but I do have a conviction to share these thoughts and perspectives and believe we all have room to grow in these areas in all of our lives. My focus is about getting my own motive, methods, and moments right. And in doing so, I know I'm going to more effectively fulfill the call of Christ that is on my life. And that's when I know I'm going to maximize the health and life of my family, church, community, and beyond. Those are some things to think about, that we would become the best purveyors of life and health as we minister to people and stay focused on fulfilling the Great Commission. Whether you find yourself in a place of strength, confidence, and provision, or whether you're in a place of weakness, doubt, and lack, or anywhere in between, God wants to take you to a higher place. God is not going to leave us languishing, trying to sort out our motive, method, or moment in our own strength. All we need to do is turn to Him. Psalm 61, verse 2 says, from the end of the earth, I will cry to you when my heart is overwhelmed, and who knows that there's some overwhelmed hearts out there today. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. The rock is a place of supernatural strength, supernatural confidence, and supernatural provision. It is the antidote to the craziness and the uncertainty of the world that we live in. The rock has a name. It's Jesus Christ. And if you know him, I want to encourage you, tap into him and be led to that rock, which is higher. Don't settle for the high ground, whatever that is. Go to that higher ground. And if you don't know him, come to know him today. In him is the answer to every situation. In him is our source of every good thing. In him is life, and that life is the light of men. So no matter what ground you find yourself on today, no matter how distant you are from him, God wants to draw you near by his grace. We didn't do anything to earn it, but he did everything to gift it to us by giving us the blood of Christ. We know that all have sinned, we've all fallen short, but God loved the world so much, he gave his only begotten son, Jesus. He paid the penalty of death for us on the cross and then stepped out of the tomb in resurrection power. So we don't serve a dead God, but he is living and he is here right now. And he wants nothing more than to be close with you right now. If you want that in your life, whether it's for the first time or you've made a decision and then walked away or drifted away, this time right now is a great opportunity to invite him back into that near place. If you want that, we're going to pray a short but powerful prayer in just a moment's time. But first, I would also encourage you to hit the raise hand button on the online platform or drop a comment on Facebook saying, yes, I want to pray that prayer. If that's you, pray this prayer with me now. Say, dear Jesus, thank you for today. Thank you for bringing me to this place that I would give my life to you. Forgive me of my sin. From this day forward, I want to live for you. So come into my life, fill me with your love, fill me with your grace, fill me with your spirit, fill me with your power. I cannot wait for the adventure that lies ahead. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hey, if you prayed that prayer, make sure you let us know in the comments. You have made an incredible decision, and one of our wonderful pastors and leaders would love to help you with the next steps. For the rest of us, let's make a decision to step onto the higher ground. Open your heart and mind to refine your motive, your methods, and your moments with the wisdom and grace that is in Christ Jesus. Okay, well, that's it from me. Enjoy the rest of the program today, and hopefully I'll be able to catch you in one of our in-person gatherings sometime on the flip side of this lockdown. Be blessed, guys. Love your stacks. Bye for now.